This is Rewind. Let's watch that again with Rochelle and Zach. Thanks for joining us today for this episode. We are going to be talking about the classic college comedy, Old School. This is a super funny movie to watch, and I was really glad I was able to go back and rewatch it again, as it's been sitting on our shelf, not being rewatched for a long time. But doing this podcast gives us the want to look through some of these old scenes again that we've not seen in a while. We hope you enjoy this one, so stay tuned. The synopsis of this movie is basically three adult men played by Luke Wilson, Vince Vaughn, and Will Ferrell start up a fraternity in a local college. The reason why they have to do this is because Luke Wilson's character comes home early and finds his girlfriend is not living up to the expectations that one would expect their girlfriend to be living up to, so he has to move out and he goes house hunting and finds a home that's close to campus of a local college. His two other friends, played by Vince Vaughn and Will Ferrell, kind of throw him a housewarming party and have a big bash to where they are having a good time living vicariously through Luke Wilson's character. The next morning, the dean shows up saying that they're living on campus and they won't be able to live there because they're not actually part of the school, so they need to find a new home. But there's a loophole to that, that if they start a fraternity there, they actually will be a part of the school. And so that's what the three of them tried to do. The majority of the movie is the formation of this fraternity and the hijinks that they get into. There are some issues that take place in the frat. For example, the death of a pledge, and the group is going to be thrown out of the college because of their shenanigans that have taken place in school. But they found a loophole that if they have good academics and school spirit, among some other activities, that they can basically compete for their ability to stay on campus as a fraternity. They're successful in their accolades to do so, and we see that Luke Wilson and Vince Vaughn's characters move on towards the end of the film, and Will Ferrell, who unfortunately lost his wife in the process of trying to live vicariously through Luke Wilson's character, sticks around and stays a prominent member in the fraternal organization.
Yeah, so I love this movie. Like, rewatching it again, it makes me feel like, this is college.
Does it take you back to your fraternity days?
It does. It does. And we'll get to some of those, but I'm not going to like say anything that's going to get anybody in any trouble or anything, but it does make me feel like, man, those are the good old days.
You didn't go streaking, did you?
So one of the most So one of the most prominent scenes we see in the movie is the streaking scene that you're speaking of. We're going streaking. That scene is so funny. I was watching Will Ferrell on the Dan Patrick show. Dan Patrick does a lot of the sports, like he did a sports show and a sports podcast, if you don't know. And whenever he was on there, he was talking specifically about that scene. And whenever he showed up, oh my gosh, Will Ferrell's so funny. But he showed up, he was in the Swedish, I think a Swedish or Norwegian, I think a Swedish, the Swedish national soccer club, like top, like warm up and bottoms. And then he had the green streaking shoes, the original shoes from the streaking scene, because he loved that scene. Whenever I watched it, he didn't act as if like an actor that had gotten used to hearing the questions over and over and over. He acted like he was excited to talk about it. And it was so funny because he's like, I'm wearing the shoes. I'm wearing the green shoes, the original shoes from the streaking. But in this podcast/videocast, whatever you want to call it, that he did with Dan Patrick, he stated that they were shooting in Montrose, California, and this is an area that's near Pasadena. And he said that it's a beautiful place that basically could be anywhere in the USA. He said anywhere USA. And they were doing like the rehearsals before the sun went down. And Will Ferrell said he looked at the place they were going to do the streaking. And he says basically like it's a main street strip of this town. And it's a normal town where there's like businesses all over the place. And there's storefront windows all over the place. And he's like, hey, has anyone told those people in this 24-hour gym what's about to go on in the next 30 minutes? And he's like, ah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let's just keep working. Let's keep working. And he said, whenever he started the scene, literally, like he disrobed and he started the scene and started streaking down the scene, he heard shrieks of horror coming from the 24-hour gym. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, look, it's Will Ferrell streaking. It was like, oh, oh, oh my God. It was terrible. And he said it was so traumatizing to them that he heard it. And by the third take that they took, that there was nobody left in the whole entire gym. It was just himself and the rest of the crew on the street because everybody had left by then. And that's not even the funniest part. I thought the funniest part in the whole like video that I watched with Dan Patrick was like curious. He's like, so did they give you a quote unquote ball sack to wear? And Will changed it to the actual phrase. It's called a courtesy pouch. And the courtesy pouch is what you would wear over his male stuff to keep it enclosed. And said that, yeah, they gave him one. And it's one size fits all, kind of like to keep people from feeling bad or good about themselves. Just to keep them all, you know, humanized in that way. But it was just, I think it was just so funny how Dan Patrick was like, so did they give you a ball sack? He's like, oh, you mean a marble sack? But then he's like, it's actually called a courtesy pouch, and went on about it. And that Will also noted that in that scene, he did do a little ad lib. The ad lib was whenever he enters the car, which I was trying to re-show you before we shot this. As he enters the car, there's the two girls in the back seat. He enters the car backwards with his showing. And the girl's original reactions were, oh my gosh. Like they were like, I can't believe I'm seeing what I'm seeing right now. He did that on his own. And he said, I'm pretty sure they took the first take, you know, because that was their original shock and awe scene. But it was just so funny because that was his whole idea. Dan Patrick did ask, he's like, because at the end of that scene, he's like, drunken Will Ferrell says, do you think KFC is still open? And Dan Patrick wanted to know, was that an ad lib scene? But he's like, I can't remember, but that is funny to be like so drunk, be like, thanks for picking me up. Do you think KFC is still open? See, what is this bucket of chicken?
In the beginning of the movie, whenever Will Ferrell's getting married, there's a band that you may recognize from a few other comedy movies. This band is actually a real band called the Dan Band. In this movie, the band is playing and singing the Bonnie Tyler song, Total Eclipse of the Heart. This is a really good song, but honestly, I can't think of it as the original song. I only hear the Dan Band version of it because they give their own extra words and feeling of emotion from any time they are singing these songs, and it just makes it unique and just downright hilarious.
I need you now tonight. I need you more than ever.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit closer to the look in your eyes.
Turn around. I
gotta like PG it by like leaving out everything, but like you can't think of that song. Like I cannot think of that song without thinking of the Dan Band singing it.
Yeah.
No offense to Bonnie Tyler, but I'm saying whenever I think of it, I think of the
I
Dan
automatically
band.
Will think of this one, even though the original is great too, but this one's just funnier, you know? Even though it's inappropriate at times, it's still hilarious.
That's why it's funny. Like whenever he says inappropriate words, like even in this one, like I think this is the first one he did.
Yeah.
And whenever he did it, was it the first? Maybe. I think it is. I think this is the first one that we see the Dan Band in.
Because this is 2003. Yeah. This would be the first one.
And whenever we see him singing it, we see the characters in the film like, what? Like, did he just say that?
Did we just hear that?
Yeah. And well,
so a couple of the other movies that this band has been in is Starsky and Hutch. That came out in 2004. I believe that was the year. And then in 2009, The Hangover. That's when I first saw them. So I did not see Old School before any of this or Starsky and Hutch. I first met them, air quote, met them, was introduced to them in The Hangover singing The Candy Shop.
I'll take you to the candy shop.
And you see all the guest attendants looking like, what? Yeah. So also, while the band is performing in this movie, we also have a first glimpse of Ellen Pompeo before she's goes on and plays Meredith Grey, which, you know, just a little funny thing to find in there. But I'm still in the Starsky and Hutch when it's kind of, when it just kind of adds a little comedy relief that the band is playing at a bar mitzvah and a bunch of little kids are listening and enjoying highly inappropriate music. But it just makes it that much funnier because they are oblivious, or maybe not. Maybe they're not oblivious. Maybe they are cueing in like, oh, what? Kind of like just like the wedding guests, you know. Yeah.
You know, you were speaking about that. She actually was on Friends in one episode.
Was she?
She was. She was in an episode in 2004, which was a year after this movie, mm-hmm. and a year before she did Grey's Anatomy, which was in 2005. And she was in one episode where the one where the stripper cries.
Interesting.
And I love that about Grey's Anatomy. Oh, not Grey's Anatomy. I love that about Friends where...
The one where... And I have all the seasons. I don't remember her being in an episode off the top of my head, but either way, that'll be probably one of our next shows to rewatch for us.
Is what?
Friends.
Oh.
You thought I was meaning Grey's Anatomy, didn't you?
I really did.
I will leave you out of Grey's Anatomy. Wrong. I'm committed to finishing Grey's Anatomy.
Actually, I thought today I have a show that I've never watched and I want to watch now.
What?
You're not going to say yes.
Okay.
So I'll just move on.
Okay.
It's The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I know. I want to watch The Simpsons. I never watched it.
I never did either, and I really have no desire.
I love this movie, and it makes me think of some of the fun I had whenever I was in college. You kind of talked about it before. I grew up, and I was in a fraternity when I was in college, and my fraternity life was not exactly like this, but there were some funny things that happened that made me kind of feel like this, and had a feel of the same fraternity fun that we used to have, one of which was Blue. And so
Blue.
I know, I love Blue. He's so cute. But you may remember Blue. He's the old man who rushed the fraternity whenever he was older.
You're my boy Blue.
He was 89. A fresh, fresh old age of 89. Fresh young age. Well, whatever. We also, whenever I rushed our fraternity, I rushed in my fraternity.
Did you have an old man of 89?
He was not 89, but he was well in his 50s, maybe 60s.
And he was rushing?
He rushed our fraternity. It was awesome. I'm telling you, as a 18-year-old, well, I was probably 19 at the time. As a, let's say, 19-year-old, I was like, this dude is awesome. And now it's like, it's not awesome, but I like want to congratulate this guy for his courage because he was like hanging out like with a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds and my fraternity. So one of the things
he must have had no life.
Well, he's like restarting his life. I'm sure. Like he's like, I want to be something different. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but
makes you wonder. Kind of makes you wonder.
Oh my gosh, there she goes. Anyways, he. So with my fraternity, I'm not going to get into too many details about which one it is or what it is. If you really want to know, send me an email. I'll send me one back and I'll let you know what fraternity I was in. But I was in a fraternity in college And whenever I got to be a part of the fraternity, it was a lot of fun that I had. And we did have a guy who rushed our fraternity. Our fraternity specifically, we were a lot of athletes. We had a lot of athletes in our fraternity. I greatly enjoyed, I was no longer able to play high school basketball, so I played intramural Greek basketball, and we won our intramural league. We were intramural league champions, and I like to thank me and a couple of other guys, like Robbie. If you listen to this, Robbie, you're one of them that was really integral in this event. But we won the intramural basketball and softball, and then we not just being athletic, we were a good clan of guys. And a big group of ours, friends, one of which was our college soccer team, our college girls soccer team, were friends with a lot of our fraternity members, and they'd come to our parties. And I bring this up because we were at a Rush event where our blue showed up and was dancing around all these college soccer player girls. They weren't very comfortable. And so the brothers had to have a good talk with Blue, our Blue, and say, "Hey, we love you, man, but it's just not working out because you're kind of making these girls feel uncomfortable."
Which is understandable.
It is. And
for sure. And it's like dancing with their dad.
Dude, he totally got it. He was like 100% online, like, "I get it." But, you know, my life in the fraternity was amazing. I loved it. I didn't get to do it for as long as I wanted to, but it was amazing. And one of the memories, I was trying to think of some good memories I could talk about without like giving away stupid stuff that we did or shenanigans we did. One of which I can say was the time that we had a brother fall asleep on a couch. He fell asleep on a couch during a party. And we took the entire couch out to the parking lot, and we left it there. And he slept there the rest of the night.
Was this you?
No, I was a part of the "let's raise the couch and let's quietly move it outside." but he was asleep on the couch, and it was so funny. I loved it. But the story of Old School actually came from one of the writer's fraternity's life. The fraternity life was of Court Crandall. He was quoted to Playboy magazine saying, "I was in a fraternity in college at the University of New Hampshire. And then years later, once I was in advertising, I was at a party in Hollywood Hills that some of our creative directors were holding. They had some sliced ham and wine, and literally someone was playing the harp. And I just thought, holy, where has all the fun gone? Is that what our life has become? Can someone give me a keg stand and a red Solo cup?"
Red Solo cup.
So I needed to talk about some of my favorite scenes from this movie. And Rochelle, what would you say your favorite scene or scenes from the movie are? And I'll talk about mine too, that I think are funny parts that arose from the movie.
I would have to say probably where they're on the ledge and they have to throw the cinder block. One, Blue.
So, yes, sir.
So stinking cute.
Blue, do you trust that I've given you enough rope to fall?
So cute. But that poor guy, the luck he has. Ouch. Yeah.
Right through the water drain.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yep.
Man. Yeah.
His shrieks of terror. That's not the way it was supposed to go. Oh! just for your reminder, everybody throws their cinder block over the ledge that's attached to a rope that's attached to a very sensitive part of a male person.
And they're supposed to trust
there's enough rope. And they throw the cinder block and it hits the ground.
And everyone's good.
Except for one person who throws his through a manhole cover and...
off he goes.
He just keeps going. He just keeps going until he himself gets stuck to the ground.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Do you have any more? I have plenty.
That's my main one.
So my favorite one is the, well, I can't even say my favorite one, but a favorite one of mine is the tranquilizer scene. That scene where, what's that guy's name?
Sean Michael Scott.
He's like, whenever Will Ferrell picks up the tranquilizer gun, he's like, what's this? He's like, that's a trank gun. He's like, That's the strongest one in the black market. It could puncture the skin of a rhino from a hunt. And he shoots himself in the jugular. And I just love it because his reaction as the professional, who's supposed to be the professional over this tranquilizer gun, is like, oh, that's awesome. that's my favorite part of that whole entire scene. And
you're crazy.
And the fact that Vince Vaughn, through the whole thing, like, whenever he has his kids around, because he's a dad, he's actually a pretty good dad, but he has his kids around, he's like, he tells his kids earmuffs because he doesn't want his kids to hear bad words.
And the one little boy sitting on the couch fixing his sleeve so he can keep earmuffing.
Yeah,
he's
in his little soccer outfit and he fixes his sleeve so he can keep earmuffing. And that's so cute because that's literally me as a parent. I'm like, dude, language. I tell this to some of my friends who have issues with language. It's like, bro, language, kids. Oh, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, stop. My kids don't listen to that. So that was so adorable. And then the last one, I have a good friend. Not going to say his name. I'm having total anonymity. What's that word? Anonymity. Anonymity. It's totally anonymous. I don't know how to say the other way to say it, but it's totally anonymous. I have a friend who just as recently got with a girl, and he
it's going serious.
It's serious, like hard serious, like cereal. And
super cereal.
This scene where Will Ferrell's about to take a soda's out, and these guys are like, here, take a beer bong, and then he's like, ah, no, I can't. I promised I wouldn't drink too much tonight. And he's like, I got a big Saturday. And the guys are like, big Saturday, what are you doing? And he's like, well, actually a pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to be going to the Home Depot. Yeah, maybe he's buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know.
If we have time.
I don't know if we'll have enough time. And yeah, it's just, that reminds me of this guy. Like every time I ask this guy, hey, how was your weekend? And he tells me, oh, well, we watched this show or this movie. I'm like, oh, we. Wow. Hard use of the word we.
So the old man, Joseph Blue Pulaski, it is small but kind of cute. The MLB team, the Toronto Blue Jays, had a minor league team in Pulaski, Virginia from 2003 to 2006 called the Pulaski Blue Jays. Another small part that was interesting about the film was the fact that the song Louie Louie, or is it Louie Louie?
No, it's Louie Louie. Louie Louie.
I thought it was Louie Louie. Oh. Was played in this. Well, anyway, it was played in this movie during the KY Jelly wrestling scene. The song was also played in the movie National Lampoon's Animal House. This is tied together because it is obviously a show of respect to the ultimate fraternity movie.
Yeah. So you think of like fraternity movie, National Lampoon's Animal House.
I've never
one.
Seen it.
What?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
No. John Belushi? John or Joe?
No.
Belushi?
No. Yeah. I'm not.
It's
no,
John or Joe.
I'm not doing this.
He has a brother.
All right. We're going to watch your movies that you should have seen. That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know what? If anything, this podcast lets me know of things you need to watch. And that is one. Like my growing up, high school, college life, Animal House, I loved it.
Yeah. Such I mean, I'm game to watch. It just never was something that came to mind. I was more of the chick flicks.
Well, it's
300.
I like those. What? How did you put You said chick flicks and 300 in the same breath.
Need I explain why I wanted to see 300?
No.
Three times in the movie theaters.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I think for any girl out there, it's explanatory why I would have seen them that many times in high school.
I don't know. Oh, is it because of the chiseled
knees? Yeah!
Oh my gosh.
Michelle and I saw it twice.
People watched
and then
that
I went
movie?
By myself because I wanted to go to the movies.
People watch that movie for that?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah. That was the first time I could actually watch a air quote gory movie and not be ugh, you know, like feel grossed out by it because it was so fake.
Oh. Well, I didn't think it was fake, but...
Okay, it was... You know what I mean? CGI'd so much to where it's not going to make me grossed out watching it versus watching Saw or stuff like that.
I don't know about that. It's like...
I can't handle... You know me. When we watch stuff like that, I am finding a reason to not have to look at the screen because... I can't handle seeing what happens, or I legit hide behind my hand and have you tell me when I'm okay to look again. You know this. So I was able to stomach handling watching 300. And I mean, all of those guys, I just, in high school, I was okay with watching this movie a few times. Anyway, Todd Phillips, who is the director-producer for this film, actually had a little cameo in the movie in one of the scenes in the very beginning where we see a stranger knock on the door to introduce himself for this, shall we say, adult party with the mustache. This is Todd Phillips. Todd does say a quotable line in that scene that he's here for the blank. But obviously, I cannot say what the blank is for the fact this is a PG podcast. So, if you don't know who Todd Phillips is, Todd Phillips directed many funny movies and good films throughout his career, some of which would be Road Trip, Old School, Starsky and Hutch, The Hangover Part 1, 2, and 3, and Joker, among some other things. So, wait, Joker as in... Joaquin Phoenix.
No, it is. And
interesting. That's not a comedy.
That's why I said among other things. You giggle box. that is one of my favorite lines. There's a couple of lines in this film that are my favorite, and I refuse to say them for the fact that
they are not appropriate.
They are not appropriate.
But they make you giggle.
One of which is the line where Todd Phillips says that scene where he's like, I'm here for the blank.
Blankety blank blank.
No, just I'm here for the blank blank.
Oh. Blank blank. Not blankety blank blank. Blank blank.
I'm here for the blank blank. And that is funny. So that brings up to my last point. Doing this episode, it makes it really difficult because this is not at all a PG movie.
No.
And many of the parts of the movie that make it so funny are not PG, as well as it's really difficult to talk about some of these things to keep it PG.
And we've been trying to be, we're being so careful here.
Yeah, and that's the problem. But, you know, one of those parts, like you talked about, like the pledges standing on the balcony and three of them that are trying to get the guys into the fraternity. They're trying to give them a hard time about the rope, but we can't really talk a lot about it because it's PG. And then so,
Will Ferrell being comfortable doing what he did, running down the street.
Yes.
He was legit in his birthday suit.
He was. He was in what he was given. That we can't...
With his... What was that thing? Sack of marbles?
Well, what Dan Patrick called it was the ball sack. And what he called it was, oh, the marble sack? You mean the courtesy pouch?
Courtesy pouch. So he can at least not be too insecure if he is
He actually
for any
called
reason.
It... He said it was more horrifying to see it in a marble sack. And one of the Dan Patrick co-hosts was like, so was it better to be in that or to be in the Whitey Tidies from Talladega Nights? He's like, he didn't really answer it, but it seems it's better to be in that because in Talladega Nights, he's all out there. And to think that he was better off being without any clothes and on fire and just take them all off. But Talladega Nights is a good one.
Oh, that's a great one.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're not first, you're last.
That's right. I was on a bunch of peyote whenever I said that. But
I'm all jacked up a Mountain Dew. Go at you like a spider monkey.
Yeah. Exactly. But if you've not seen this movie in a while, to make sense, better sense of this podcast, please rewatch it.
You're of age.
It's not on Netflix. It's not on Hulu. You'll have to find it either on Amazon or rent it.
17 and older.
Please go rewatch it because it is good. 17 or older for sure. And, as a parent, we can't say a lot of these things. We can't, condone a lot of these things because we are parents. Mm-hmm. But it is really funny and it's a really good movie and it makes the movie really funny.
Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn, they're both hilarious. You can't go wrong with either of them, honestly.
Oh my gosh, not at all. So this has been Rewind. Let's watch that again. Please look for us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter under the same name and follow us for updates on future episodes. Each new episode will drop every Wednesday, where we'll go into depth on another film we consider to be a classic from the 90s and 2000s. Also, feel free to send us an email about what you thought about this or any other comments that you'd have on the show. You can contact us via those social media outlets or email us at rewind.letswatchthatagain@yahoo.com.